Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
I have said on this podcast and in my radio interviews several times now that the Sabres have indicated that they do not want to trade J.J. Paterka. Their answer has changed. They are at least now listening on it. And I think that's recent. I think it's the reality of the situation. People know Paterka's unhappy and it's believed he would like to go somewhere else. And I just think that reality is sinking in a bit. I think the Sabres realize they have to at least look into it. And I think in the last little bit, it's gone from we don't want to do it and we're not doing it to we don't want to do it, but we at least have to look into it. I think it's kind of, if you're serious, offer us something serious and we'll look at it.
Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts on J.J. Paterka. We'll talk Paterka, talk the Sabres offseason coming up here with Joe Yurden. Good morning. It's beautiful out. Could get some thunderstorms a little bit later on in the day, but we'll see. Can't complain after the May we had. Jeremy and Joe joined by Joe Yurden on the Wester Hotline from Bleacher Report. Morning, Joe. Joe, you're a soccer guy. Should I care about the Club World Cup?
It's something I haven't known about being a thing until, like, what, a couple weeks ago? And now that it's going on, I'm like, who cares about this? It's just a FIFA money grab as far as I'm concerned. So, whatever. Hey, if your team wins it, I guess cool. But, I mean,
yeah,
it's like a brand new made-up thing, so who cares?
Yeah, there was a 10-0 game yesterday, I believe. Right, Josh Byron beat who?
It was Auckland
Town. Auckland City.
10-0
to Byron, yeah.
Great kickoff to your event when you have a game like that.
You got to love those championship teams from, what, New Zealand, I guess? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Right. Why not get them in there? Well, Joe, Paterka there, the comment from Friedman. This is turning into drama, a drama-filled offseason a little bit. Adams wants to do things. That's the other reporting that we've seen. But there's two players to really think about their futures. Let's start with Paterka for you. How have you met all the chatter about him maybe wanting out and him being an RFA, whether he'll be offer sheeted? How do you see the whole Paterka, should you call it a saga, right now?
This is it's a lot of smoke coming from areas that are essentially outside the team. I mean, they're you're not going to get a lot of buzz directly or even indirectly out of the Sabres. You know, there used to be some leaks in that ship. There's no leaks anymore. There, you know, nobody's publicly talking about any of this kind of stuff. And, you know, the stuff about JJ where, you know, maybe he doesn't want to be here, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, if there's been an easier way to find your way out of Buffalo while Kevin Adams is the GM, the quickest way to do that is to say you don't want to be here anymore. Now, whether that's true or not, you know, I'm certainly not going to deny, you know, what Elliot Friedman's talking about. Elliot's much more clued in on these things, so it's certainly a concern point. The offer sheet talk, we love offer sheet talk. We all love offer sheet talk, right? I think it's a little bit overblown, though, because everybody's like, well, everybody's got more money to spend and all that. Yeah, it's a lot more money to match, too, for teams that have these guys. But it would be very concerning for me that if Paterka says he doesn't want to sign long-term, he doesn't want to do any of that, because you're immediately running into the thing, because you say, like, well, you know, we own your rights, so we can get a deal done here and, you know, we'll figure it out from there. But there's no point in trying to do that. I mean, if he says he doesn't want to be here, whatever the case, make a deal. You know, make a deal. Try to. You know, you kind of lose your leverage point if you acknowledge that he says he wants out. So I can understand any silence on the Sabres' part, but you know, if teams are going to be predatory with offer sheets for him, you're just going to help the Buffalo out at that point. But the bigger part of that, the problem for that for me is the concern that a guy this young that's been here for, been in the organization since he was drafted, the moment his ELC runs out, he's like, all right, that's enough. Get me out of here. That's the biggest concern for me.
Joe Yurden with us on the Western Hotline. The offer sheet part of it, you mentioned about like they have the space to match. Would they be spooked by matching though for a player in your mind that, you know, if they have it in their heads that okay, he might not want to be here, or they know he doesn't want to be here, and we're locking him into a long-term contract with that situation, would they just, you think, side towards let's just move on?
I think that creates a really difficult scenario, because if he's signing an offer sheet, it's with the team that he wants to go play for. And you're kind of held in place by what the compensation is that's set by the league based on how much they're going to pay him. And obviously if they went big enough to make it where it's four first round picks, you know, thanks for the years. We'll see you later. You know, like that's an easy trade to make, I guess, in that situation. Granted, the Sabres are not in a position to be like, let's just amass draft picks and we'll be good with that. They don't want to be doing that kind of stuff right now. But if you want to beat everybody to the punch and trade him to where he wants to go and get a different price out of him, then I think you try to work that out. But that becomes an awkward game of chicken, because, you know, teams aren't supposed to be talking to guys right now. And, you know, if this is all coming together on July 1st when you're trying to sign guys and trying to get other things done, that creates a whole different kind of pressure point. So, but if you know, like if Adams knows right now that JJ's does not want to be here, he doesn't want to be here anymore, you got to be trying to figure that out before July 1st so that, you know, the leverage point, doesn't shift against you.
Joe, do you think some say this, as we brought this up during the week, that they should not care about that and start to play a little bit of hardball?
I mean, you got to show strength, right? Adams is a proud guy, and I think challenging him on this kind of thing is something that will get us that will get his back up on it and you know, and say, hey, listen, you know, we don't have to do what you want to do here. You know, we hold all the cards. But that's only true until, you know, they get notified that somebody else signed, you know, he signed a deal somewhere else and they got the time to match it. It's a little bit of a different world and a different scenario where restricted free agency very much is not in the player's favor until they take control of it. But, you know, if Adams wants to play hardball with, you know, if it comes down to making trades or whatever, absolutely, you know, try to get what you want out of this and try to get, you know, something done that is going to help, is going to work more in your favor other than losing a guy and then only getting draft picks back in return.
Joe Yurden with us on the Western Hotline, Bleacher Report, Noted Hockey. As we talk about Paterka, what about your worry level about Tuck long term and whether or not he would sign an extension this summer, and really what you think the Sabres should do if it becomes clear that they wouldn't get a deal done this summer and they'd have to decide whether to go into, you know, a final year with him under contract or not?
Yeah, his situation is really interesting because, you know, I mean, he had a phenomenal season. And, you know, that's building ahead towards, you know, him becoming a possible UFA next summer. But, you know, for everything that has been discussed about him since they got him from Vegas, you know, growing up a Sabres fan, you know, wanting to be part of the, you know, success story here and changing the narrative and getting him back to the playoffs and all these things. this is going to be his first time going into unrestricted free agency. Like, he gets to, this is his chance to really make a splash for cash, because when he signed his contract with Vegas, you know, years ago, that was one, you know, and I talked to Alex about this, you know, during the season, you know, they came to him with an offer where it was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's just get this done. And, you know, that could happen this time. You know, if Kevin says, you know, calls him 12:01 on July 1st and says, hey, okay, here's our extension offer, what do you think? And, you know, if it's a big enough offer, yeah, I mean, he'd want to certainly consider doing it, but you're getting within range of, you know, and if everybody's not sold on, like, where things are headed and the direction things are going, and, you know, obviously how things went last season with the losing streak and everything, it's put a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, and, you know, everywhere in the city, on the team, you know it. But if this is something where Alex is like, I'm not sold on where we're going with this, then boy, oh boy, I mean, you're in a spot where the guy that grew up a fan of the team, you know, grew up outside Syracuse, loves the Sabres, the whole thing, says, like, I don't know about this. Boy, that's a tough spot. That's such a tough spot. And, you know, if it's something where it costs a couple extra million a year to make it okay, I'm not sold that Adams and company are going to want to pay that kind of price for a guy that's already under their watch, you know?
Yeah. No, I wonder that more overall about what their spending is going to look like, because they have spent below the cap every year here, and now it is going up to $95 million. So when you say that, like, oh, I'm not sure they'd want to add a couple million more if that's what it took, I'm thinking, well, what are they going to be? They're going to be spending 10 below still going forward, or 8 below, when everyone else is going to get this influx of cash? I mean, really, Joe, yeah. I don't believe they would pay everybody, because right now the idea that they're going to have Paterka and Tuch and Byram all on long-term extensions this offseason probably feels like a long shot. But if they did just sit there and pay everybody, they would be up against the cap. But I don't know if that feels likely at all at this moment.
Yeah, and you know, of the guys that are RFA that, you know, you got to get done. You mentioned Byram. You mentioned Paterka. There's Ryan McLeod that they've got to figure out what they're going to do with him. And you know, there's Jack Quinn, who, you know, couldn't be coming off a worse season to be going into contract talk. So, but you know. Obviously, I think most of the trade talk has been circled around Byram for pretty obvious reasons, because, you know, you got Bowen Power, you've got Rasmus Dahlin. Do you need another lefty guy out there who wants to be in a power play role, who's not getting it because they have the other two guys? You know, like, that's a position of abundance that, you know, you can trade Byram and, you know, really make something happen trade wise to make it, to help the team out in the current run and down the road. But, you know, this is, you know, but if you're staring into the mirror and you're looking at it, and, you know, if it's true, JJ doesn't want to stick around, and Alex has a lot of doubts, and he's not sure if he wants to stick around. That is a far more dire situation, because those are two guys that you're thinking are going to take you into the next 4, 5, 6 years down the road and being huge players for the team. And now you're like, well, if we're cutting those two out, who's taking those roles? Where are they coming from? Are they coming out of Rochester? Like, you know, are you going to keep just having a churn of guys that are 18, 19, 20 years old taking over? Or are you going to take some risks, dip into free agency and, you know, maybe pull a veteran out that'll work out for you? But yeah, this is a scary situation for him.
The offseason could get started tomorrow, yeah. Right? If the Cup final ends and kind of opens the door and everybody doing what they want to do here. So, Joe, how about at the Cup final? And Edmonton, it's not good. Is it good when you're going into a elimination of the season game and you're not prepared to name your goalie? Is that a good thing?
In my experience, teams that are that are doing this kind of stuff in the final or any time in the playoffs, it's a bad sign. That's a real bad sign. And, you know, it kind of takes me back to, I'm sure there's been a more recent situation with this, but it reminds me a little of 97 when, you know, Detroit was knocking Philadelphia around and they kept swapping out Garth Snow and Ron Hextall. And they're just kind of like, well, you know, one of these guys will get hot. And no, man. And that ain't happening. And, you know, it's kind of like an old problem coming home to roost for Edmonton, because Skinner struggled all season and they didn't make a move to help him out, to get a goalie, to do whatever, you know, trade for John Gibson, do for whatever. They didn't do it. And now you're in a spot where it's like, oh, Skinner's, he's been hot, but uh-oh, he's cold again. Okay, well, who's our guy? Oh, Calvin Pickard. All right, well, all right, bud, you've been around the bend. Go get him. And uh-oh, it didn't work on home ice. And now we're on the road and we got to try to win to come back home for a game seven. Not great. Not a great situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, McDavid and Drysdale can do a lot of magic, and we've seen it, but this is asking them to stop the puck from going in against them. That's really hard. And Florida, I've been throwing flowers at their feet all playoffs. They are an incredible machine. They are awesome. I love watching them, and we're watching a special team here. This is three straight years in the finals, and we're talking about their win away from winning two in a row. This is crazy.
Do you think McDavid, especially if they lose tonight and he's held off the score sheet, it'll be, you know, one goal, one assist in the final three games, and the goal came when they were down 3-0 in the third. I almost, Joe, have an appreciation for hockey compared to some other sports where I almost feel like McDavid would not get much heat because everyone just knows how good he is. Like, there's nothing really to figure out. Whereas a superstar, the best player in a sport that hasn't won yet in any other championship, in football or in basketball, if they're not putting up the numbers, what's the next month going to be talking about that sport? It's going to be that guy not showing up. And I don't know, like, do you think I'm wrong? I don't think we're headed for anything like that with McDavid, even if he doesn't kind of come through here statistically.
No, I think the issues with what's happened with the Oilers goaltending is a bigger problem. That, and, you know, they've been taking some real bonehead penalties throughout the series. Or, you know, our old pal Evander Kane's been kind of in that spotlight in this series where, you know, he's, you know, whether it's, you know, malicious or not, there's been some of those plays where it's like, geez, man, what are you doing? But no, I don't think anybody's going to be getting on McDavid here. But I mean, you know, listen, he's going to get the heat because he's the guy, you know, this is just how it goes. But you're talking about going up against a team where Alexander Barkov's on the other side of it. And Barkov was, I know McDavid was incredible in the playoffs last year. That whole cup final against Florida, anytime he was on the ice with Barkov, Barkov had him in lockdown. He had him in a straitjacket. McDavid did his damage in the finals last year, anytime he wasn't on the ice against them, which is exactly what you have to do to take advantage of that. But this is a full concerted team effort. You know, this is Bennett, this is Marchand, this is all these guys coming together to be like, all right, these guys aren't going to beat us. Just don't take any penalties because they will score. But this Panthers team is just, they're nasty. I mean, they're nasty for obvious reasons, but also they're just nasty to deal with. It's really impressive the way that they've been able to handle this Oilers team this year, because this really kind of felt like Pittsburgh, Detroit in 08 and 09, where, you know, Detroit got one over on them and, you know, they come back the next year and it's like, wow, Crosby ain't going to lose two years in a row, right? And didn't happen. So, because you're thinking, like, well, McDavid, Drysdale, hey, they ain't going to lose again, right? And, well, here we are. You know, Pittsburgh had Marc-Andre Fleury on their side. Edmonton does not have that kind of action on their side.
Yep. Game 6 tonight, 8 o'clock. You can listen to it right here on WGR. Joe Yurden, thanks, Joe, for taking some time out, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Tonight, by the way, if the one other thing about the finals, which is kind of a weird streak here, if Edmonton loses tonight, it'll be 5 out of the last 6 years that Corey Perry's season has ended in the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, even if they lose the next game, that'll be true too.
That's also true. That's right. Yeah, if they just don't win it. He's playing. He's got 10 goals in 20 games.
Yeah.
10 goals in 21 games. So,
quick thing on like finals stuff, and this is NBA finals now. I saw this yesterday, and it's one of those very small things that, I don't know how big of a point there is here. Hold on. I'm texting Josh something because I want him to play a song while I say this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A song relating to something that happened in the NBA Finals yesterday.
I texted the group. Go ahead and get that thing ready, Josh, because the story was, did you see earlier in the playoffs, in the finals, when the court didn't say finals anywhere? It's in Oklahoma City, and the court was not special at all. And people noticed, hey, what's the deal here? Put the trophy on the floor, right? The finals in script. It looks like a game from February. And the league kind of silently, oh, okay, yeah, that's not a big deal, but yeah, we'd do that. It was pointed out by Shams Charania, ESPN senior NBA writer, Shams Charania, that ABC is airing the Oklahoma City Thunder and Pacers starting lineup ahead of Game 5. Mm-hmm. That was last night. That was the first time starting introductions were broadcast at the finals since when?
Cavs Warriors Game 7?
Since 2013.
So before that.
We had not seen the starting lineups at the NBA Finals introduced since 2013. Now, listen, on one side, I want to complain when they say the game's going to start at 8 and I'm watching the NHL introduce every player until 8:26. I'm not happy about that.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, an entire generation, multiple generations of sports fans know the Chicago Bulls theme song because they played it introduced it every time.
That's right.
We all know this song.
This song, it's probably got a real name. To me, this is just the Bulls intro.
It's called Sirius.
Sirius?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even know. This is the Bulls intro. If I were going to search for it, I would just type in like 97 Bulls intro or something.
Yeah, like this song, the Alan Parsons Project.
Yeah.
Sirius. And it transcended sports and everything. Just because it was the Bulls.
Right.
You're telling me we haven't had an NBA team introduced since 2013?
Yeah, that's bad. That's
how?
Tough.
What?
Like probably said, a lot of cool ones along the way.
It's a very small thing, maybe. But yeah. I saw that yesterday. Like, I cannot believe it's been 12 years since they're like, at small forward. Number. You know, 12 years.
Yeah. Did you also, by the way, you mentioned the NBA Finals logos. So you saw them on the court after they got complaints about it?
Yeah.
Did you know they weren't actually there?
Yeah, they were digitally put there. That's right.
They were digitally put there.
That's right. They did not put them on the court.
Right. So if you were there in Oklahoma City or Indiana, you didn't see them.
Meanwhile, if you look at some of the highlights of when the Lakers are in, there's the Larry O'Brien trophy that's the size of the court. At midcourt.
Okay, yeah.
You can't.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Possibly not know you're watching the finals, and in these finals, they'll show a highlight. You're like, "What was that from?"
It was like a December regular season game, November
14th.
Yeah, on a Thursday. Yeah,
so, absolutely crazy. Come on, it's the finals.
Yeah, dress it up a little.
I still reserve the right to complain if they tell me the game's going to start at 8:30 and they do all this after 8:30.
Should the Stanley Cup Final also be doing this? Just again on time.
They have been.
They've been doing it on time?
They've been doing player introductions on the Stanley Cup Final. At least they did for Game 1.
I don't know if they've done it since.
I think they did in Game 3. I think they did it at least. I think they've done
it. Maybe I've missed that then.
I mean, hockey does it for a lot of games. The Sabres do it for every single game.
Yeah. What about a giant
not always on the ice.
What about a giant cup on the ice, the size of that NBA Finals trophy you were just talking about?
Sure.
Giant cup. Goes across the whole ice.
This is me showing my ability to complain about anything. I complain you start too late. I complain you're not doing enough. I want to have both. Make me commissioner. Start the game. 8:15, you start the intros. I get there. I get to see intros. I get to see, I don't know, the atmosphere. It's all pumped up, and then you tip that ball at 8:30.
No, so you can't do that because we need those 15 minutes of hard-hitting analysis from Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins. That's why you don't see him. That probably is what's on, isn't it?
What's that?
While the intros are going on, I've probably got Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins yelling at each other on a desk.
Probably. You know what they
should
do?
That probably is what's on.
In Indiana for game six, they should do intros and they should introduce the players. And on the court, they should, like from the Jumbotron, shoot down an image of a game of solitaire.
No one made fun of them for it yesterday, I think I saw.
I know. It was probably off limits.
Probably. 803-0550 is the phone number. Game six tonight, and I believe the NBA's off for a couple. There's the Stanley Cup tweet. I'll be in the building tonight.
Yeah, but you were in the building game one.
Okay, it's, right, yeah.
It's a little bit, did they bring it for game one, and then it leaves for games two, three, four, and five, and now it's back in for six?
I think so.
Okay.
Do you know, by the way?
Did it travel? Did it just wait in Edmonton until it got its assignment?
Yeah. The Stanley Cup is following three people on Twitter.
Okay.
Only Gordy, three people.
Gordie Howe.
Nope.
Gary Bettman.
Nope.
The Rock.
No. that would be hilarious.
Brendan Shanahan.
Nope. The NHL, account. Yep.
Okay. The Panthers and the Oilers.
The Panthers and Phil Pritchard.
Okay, Phil Pritchard's the guy that carries the cup?
Yes, he's the keeper of the cup. So they're following the Panthers, but not the Oilers. Well, they're the defending champs. That's probably why, right? They follow the defending champs, the guy who keeps the cup, and then the league.
Okay.
It's probably an exact science to it. Anyways, 803, Jeremy and Joe, the weather's nice out for now, so could do some stuff outside a little bit later on. Some stadium memories, if you want. We were kicking that around a little bit earlier. There's a cool series that Matt Beauvais is doing. We talked to him yesterday about that. So anything you want, get in on it here on WGR.
The show that is upset about Rafi Devers being traded. I don't approve of this.
Gosh darn it. Cat in again. Solitaire. No good.
Oh, wow.
No good.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know we were in my bed.
Shots fired.
What? What? I can't multitask?
I'm just saying.
I can't multitask?
First hour, first things first. Today, I was trying to do a serious thing about Devers.
I was listening.
Today.
Okay, there's one guy who's made fun of Stephen A. Smith. Nick Wright did it. That was yesterday?
Yep. Let's place our bets. Who gets the cup first when Florida wins tonight? First off, you think Florida will win? I do.
I do think Florida will win tonight.
And I think Marshawn gets the cup first. Does he win the Conn Smythe?
He really might. The Conn Smythe odds going into tonight, I think it's Bennett 1 and it's Marshawn 2. Yeah, I think he... I don't know. Will they want to give it to a guy who's been there? Does that matter at all into who they'll give it to?
The Conn Smythe?
Yeah, the Conn Smythe. No, the cup. The cup, I wouldn't say that. The cup, they could give it to Marshawn, even though he just got there. I don't think that matters for that as much. I wonder if it matters for the Conn Smythe, though. Would the Panthers even want that? Like, hey, give it to one of our guys. You know, like, this guy just got here, you know, we've been doing this for 3 years, like, Bennett. Bennett, he also leads the playoffs in goals, so it's not like, you know, it's hard to make an argument for him.
Right.
I would say Bennett gets the Conn Smythe. If it's not Marchand, everybody else has already won it. That's the problem, right? You could give it to Bobrovsky first because he's the goalie, but he's already won it. Seth Jones is the other guy who hasn't. Yeah, Marshawn's a favorite. Definite favorite to get the cup first.
It'd be great if Edmonton won tonight. You know, talking about McDavid and the pressure on him.
Yeah.
just looking at his game log, this happened in the series last year, too. He, for lack of a better way to say it, like not trying to get after McDavid or make it his fault, he piled up points in single games and was not there in other games.
Right.
He is about to do that again, maybe. He had 5 points. Let me pull it up again here.
Last year, he had no points in games 6 or 7 and still won the Conn Smythe.
Right, right. Well, the Conn Smythe is supposed to be for the entire playoffs. Right?
Yeah,
but, and,
that's
right. But I mean, he still had a big point total. In the first 2 games of this series, he had 5. 5 points.
Yeah.
He has 2 in the last 3 games.
Right.
Like a 0, an assist, and a goal in a 5-2 loss. Mm-hmm. 25 minutes of ice time. Like,
yeah, he's out there.
He's out there. And last year, how did this go? Like, last year in the playoffs, in the cup final, it was similar. He scored by game points. 1-2-4-4-0-0.
Yeah.
8 points in 2 games mm-hmm. as they're coming back. And those are 8-1 and 5-3 and 5-1 finals. It's almost kind of when Edmonton can get flying, they should want shootouts. You know?
Yeah.
When the scores start to get crooked, I think it is advantage Edmonton, but Florida's just prepared for almost everything they can throw at them. So I'm not here to say it's McDavid's fault. You know, you brought it up with Joe Yurton. Is the kind of thing that sticks to him.
Mm-hmm.
And hockey, it doesn't as much.
No, not at all. If this were the NBA, it would be all anybody would be talking about is him not putting up the numbers as the series is starting to get away from them. Because on the flip end, the best story tonight to me would be McDavid goes nuclear and they send it back to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Like that is
without a doubt the best story.
Like
yes,
he has two goals and 3 assists and they win 5-4. Right? Like that's the perfect night. And we're going back to Edmonton for game 7. Because him actually, and by the way, Marchand is not second in the odds. It is McDavid still. Because okay.
I guess he would have to do this. If he does this, he's maybe got a shot at it. Can you imagine if he does that and then they lose in game 7 and he gets Conn Smythe back to back years in losses?
Oh no, I'm sorry, I did misread it. Draisaitl is, because he's been scoring. You give it to a losing player mm-hmm. in back-to-back seasons. I think the Panthers might riot if that happened. They will not do that under any circumstance this year because they did it last year. That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But no, like if he could still win it, because if he had like a 5-point night and they won tonight, and then he did something similar in game 7. I mean, his numbers, the totals for the playoffs are there. So, 2 games to kind of win the cup that way, that to me still is the best way this could go. I'm not mad if the Panthers win. I don't hate the Panthers at all. But Edmonton's the best story, for sure.
Rich writes in about McDavid's production has to do with home ice and last change. But not totally. Because last year, let's go to this series. In this series, they're home in game 5. He has 1 point. That's not home ice.
Right.
Right? In last year's series, he goes game 6 and 7. They win game 6 in Edmonton, and he has mm-hmm. no points. No points. He scored 4 points in Florida last year in game 4.
Yeah.
So it's not all home and road. I wouldn't dispute it all. It's a factor. But last year, game 6, home ice, they forced game 7. He does not have a point in that game. And they just lost a game in game 5, and he had 1 point at home. So,
yeah.
I mean, it really is about, I mean, sure, it's about Florida, it's about Barkov, it's about their defensive structure, it's a lot of things. They have some answers to try to keep him in check. And isn't that entirely, if we have enough to just, if your team is deep enough, hey, your job is to go shut that line down, and we'll win the other matchups. You know, you want to cancel the McDavid matchup and then win everywhere else and take your chances. And the way for Edmonton, of course, to get better and to maybe put it over the top is to build a lineup that teams don't win when they do that.
Right. Like, because Barkov,
which is easier said than done.
Barkov, for instance, I still have the Conn Smythe odds open. Like, he's not even on the list because he's got 3 points in the finals. He's got 3 assists. But is he not? If McDavid like had no points tonight and they win the cup, couldn't you argue Barkov is like one of the most valuable players in the series?
Oh, for sure.
If he didn't score, He didn't score once, and his line put up very few goals, but you neutralized McDavid and allowed your other lines to win it for you.
If we're like using other sports analogies, what's he doing? He's setting the edge. He's not sacking the quarterback. He's setting the edge, or he's eating the double team.
He's taking away. He's the elite corner that's shutting down the other team's number one receiver.
Yep, and he has no picks, but doesn't matter because he's over there on McDavid Island and he's doing the job.
Right. By the way, one quick follow-up on the logo decal that we talked about, how the NBA Finals logo wasn't on the floor. Adam Silver, I guess, did say this week that the reason they stopped doing it is because the players said that the logo decal was slippery.
That was
his explanation for it.
I'm going to go ahead and say that there's, whatever. This is one of those spots where you want to say, like, we could put a man on the moon. We can't have a non-slippery logo. We can't do that.
Right. Right. Somehow they got the team logo on the middle.
Yeah.
And the paint, but 803-0550. Extendo Sports, when we come back, we'll get you off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Extendo Sports. Sal's here.
Hi. What's up?
Sal, did you watch the Fandemonium first episode, Matt Beauvais, yesterday? I mean, you're in it, so.
Was I in the first episode? I saw the last 10 minutes of the first episode.
I think you were in it for a couple of
I am
clips.
Very much in episode two.
Okay.
And I've seen that entire episode. And it's really good. Not just because I'm in it. I'm saying because it's about like a lot of us with the memories of the stadium and certain games.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask
really
you.
Really come to mind?
They started on like the beginnings of the stadium. They started getting into the 80s a little bit. I was thinking that's where your first game probably would be.
My first game was 1987 during the strike year. But it wasn't a strike game. It was later in the year. Bills needed to win the last couple games.
Okay.
Go to the stadium in December. They lose to the Patriots in a snow game, essentially, like a snowy type game. And they lose, and that was 87. I talk, spoiler alert, about, and I've talked this about this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On the radio before, like my favorite awesome memory was being in the stadium for 51-3, which was, you know, a couple years later, 3 years later. So yeah, it's a great series that Matt and everybody at Channel 7 put together for sure.
I'm looking at the YouTube feed right now because I'm with you guys. I'm from home.
You are.
I'm over Sal's shoulder. I think we got a potential bit here.
I think you're the picture in picture.
Owen, can you drop me a little lower, closer to Sal's shoulder, and I can be like the devil or the angel on your shoulder?
I got to see this. I'm going to go to the YouTube page right now to take a look at this.
You are
right
the
now.
Devil on his shoulder.
Hey, Sal.
You know what happens, though? I got to wait for this ad to play. First of all, as it opens up, I got two ads I got to run first.
Oh, here we go. Jeremy's on the move.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, perfect. This is perfect. Look at this.
I see. There he is. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Sal.
How are you?
Ask Joe about.
I've got to think of something. Like, what would the devil say? Like, to get Joe mad about something? I don't know.
Mad about me, or you could ask me about the Kevin Cole quarterback series where he's Troy Aikman below Jim Kelly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I saw that. I wonder where Josh Allen's going to finish in Kevin Cole's GOAT series. Like, Josh Allen going to finish
right
top 20? Like, I'm all over the place now. Now I'm on Joe's shoulder.
Yeah, he's very friendly to the mod. Like, he has to like the guys who play now because. Kevin Cole, unexpected points. He does every year, like, top 50 all-time, and he updates them. So he just dropped 40 through 36. And, like, it's 40 Matthew Stafford, 39 Dak Prescott, 38 Troy Aikman, 37 Jim Kelly. So the guys who play now are high. So Allen's going to be top 10. Isn't he?
I don't think he'll be top 10, no. I think he'll be between 20 and 35.
Really?
You can't put him 10. You can't put him 10. Hold on.
Prescott's 39th.
Yeah. Brady, Montana, Mahomes, Favre, Rodgers, Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning. Marino.
Marino might be in the mix there.
He's very. He's got a lot of data, so Marino's going to be high, I bet.
Elway is possible here for the era he played in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I'm at 9 now.
He's going to put, like, Johnny Unitas in there.
I don't know. I mean,
no?
It's,
Otto Graham?
Does Lamar have a case right now? You could make the case. Like, I don't think Allen Gitz is a top 10 quarterback ever. He might be like 15 to 30. I bet he's 15 to 30 in that neighborhood.
If Allen retired today, is he a Hall of Famer right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, if he had to retire. I feel like they'd treat it differently if he just decided to walk away versus career cut short. Like, oh, he would have done so much more, but let's not even put that out into the universe at any point.
No, I'm just curious because...
I know what you're saying, yeah.
He won the MVP this year, and I think that kind of elevated him to that status, right? Like, without that, maybe the answer's a little different right now?
Right, because the accolades would be, like, one MVP, no Super Bowl appearance. Like, he's below Matt Ryan, who made it to a Super Bowl and also won an MVP. Mm-hmm. But no one in the world would ever tell you Matt Ryan was better than Josh Allen. Right, I think no one would ever try to
tell because you that. The pushback always for me, if anybody says, well, what about the Super Bowls? I'm like, well, what about Dan Marino? Yes, I know he went his very first year as a starter. Never went back, never won one. So, you know, that happens. But, yeah. All right, so we got let me plug a little bit quick.
Go on.
Paul Hamilton, right away at the top of the show, because he has to, he has his schedule. I wanted to get him on today. So right at the top of the Extra Point show is Paul Hamilton. And then at the bottom, Brian Colzio, rapping on the U.S. Open and some of the Saber stuff that's going on.
All right. Stay tuned. With Sal, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.